Good morning, good morning. Happy Sunday. Don't you love it? Hey, we are celebrating Advent. It's the third Advent. Anybody know the theme for that? Oh, there we go. Thank you, joy. And we'll get to that in a minute. But I just wanted to get up and let you know a few things that are coming along. My name's Derek Willis. And I just want to welcome you all here. For those of you that are new or visiting, or maybe just trying to find a church place to attend, you are welcome here. We welcome you greatly. We'd love to hear from you, too. So if you want to know how to communicate with us, in the seat back of the seat in front of you, figure that one out. In the back of the seat in front of you, there is a connection card. So please fill that out. You know, tell us who you are. Share your contact information. If you have questions or comments or things you need to want answered, please put that on there. And there's also, if you don't want to use a pen and paper there, you could do the QR code. So there's an option for you. Love to hear from you. It's a great way to connect, along with other things such as our table between services. So here at Trinity Alliance, we are fully enjoying our relationship with Jesus. And we do that through the power of the Holy Spirit, God's word, and prayer. And that's largely, you know, how we connect with the Lord, right? Listening to what the Spirit's saying and following along. We also fully enjoy our relationship with Jesus through journeying with our church family, and we do have a great family here, and engaging our neighbor. And there's a couple things coming up that I want you to be aware of that you could do both of those, journey with the family and engage your neighbor. One of those is our Christmas Eve service. That's coming up. It's Christmas Eve at 5 o'clock. Great time to come together, worship the Lord, worship the reason for the season, Jesus. So come and enjoy us. Invite your family. It's a great opportunity. Invite your friends, too. Reminder, the Sunday after Christmas, the 28th, there will be one service, just one service. That will be at 10 o'clock, so don't come at 9. Don't come at 11:15, come at 10. It'll be one service. It's great. I love the one service time because it allows everybody to get together, everybody to meet people that, like, if you come to the first service, you don't know as many people in the second service. That's another reason for the table between, right? For all of us to connect. Another opportunity that's coming up that I want to draw your attention to in the bulletin. So all these announcements are in the bulletin, too, but in the bulletin, there's one thing that's in there that we don't normally do. It's an opportunity for the year-end giving. So as we come to the end of the year, it's opportunity for you to, well, if you will, you can look at it from one way, is take advantage of a tax break. That's one way to look at it. But the other way that's even better is to bless those that need that we're putting out there for that offering, for that giving. And so take a look at your bulletin, and if you have the opportunity, please give to those, one of those. That the offering plate will be coming around. It will be occurring at probably our first song after this break here. One other thing that we have coming up. The Steinerts, Rhoda and Aaron and Rhoda Steiner, are going to be coming back from Germany. We just heard about that. There's a group that went over to visit them, and they're coming back. They're going to be here for, I believe, 3 weeks. And since they're just getting here, they should be here, I think, Wednesday. They are looking for someone that has an extra vehicle that will be able to allow them to use it for the time they're here. So if you're a person that has that, Pastor Jesse, please talk to Pastor Jesse, or if you need to, Pastor Sean, myself, any of the elders, and we will get you in touch with the right people. So anyhow, if that's something you have, an extra car sitting in your driveway, then be thinking about that. transition to going back to the Advent joy. As I was putting this together yesterday, I was thinking about in the morning, the joy of the Lord. You know, how many of you are excited for your Christmas presents? Come on. Come on, Christmas presents, yeah. There you go, absolutely. And you should be. You should be. But, you know, the joy of the Lord is not like at Christmas. You know, it's not like opening a present or waiting for that. Yeah, we have a joy, but it's very short-lived when we open our Christmas presents. The joy of the Lord is something that does not depend on our circumstance or situation. He's with us. He fills us. He's part of our life. The Holy Spirit, right? The joy of the Lord is something that we should exude all the time. And I say that, but then I was really convicted yesterday because after putting this together, I cooked all day, and I don't mind cooking. I enjoy it. It was a long day, but I enjoy it. And my bride said something, and I was tired, and I went the other way. It was not the right answer or response from me. And it just made me realize, I was really convicted, because the joy of the Lord does not depend on my circumstance. Why did I hear things or take things the way I did when I should be thinking about, Jesus, what are you trying to do or say in this moment, right? And I know we're all there. We all get there. But it was a reminder of me, the joy of the Lord is not dependent on my circumstance or situation. I need to put him, allow him to work through all those things in my life. So here's, as we celebrate the joy of the Lord this week, we celebrate Jesus, you know, because he is the Messiah. He came with us, Emmanuel, God with us. That's in Isaiah 7:14. We celebrate because, and we have the joy because Jesus fulfilled prophecy, and he still is. He's still at work. And not only that, Jesus brought eternal life, right? He gives us eternal life. When we come to know Jesus as Lord and Savior, we have eternal life. That's part of our relationship with him. And we look forward to his second return when that eternal will be ushered into that eternal life. We celebrate Christmas because of the gift God gave us. That's Jesus, our Messiah. Father sent his son that we may have a relationship with him. Jesus came to earth and then died for whoever believes in him might have that relationship with Abba Papa. This is a reason for great joy, plus so many others. I like to read Luke 2, verses 1 through 20. So a little long passage. You guys, it should be coming up here. So in those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration when Quirinius, whatever you say that, the governor of Syria, and all went to be registered, each to his own town. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the town of Nazareth to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house of the lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed, who was with child. And while they were there, the time came for her to give birth. And she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in a swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no place for them in the inn. And in the same region, there were shepherds out in the field keeping watch over the flocks by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you, or unto us, is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be the sign for you. you will find a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth among those with whom he is pleased. When the angel went away from them and into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord had made known to us. And they went and with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in the manger. And when they had saw it, they made known the saying that had been told to them concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherd told them. But Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they heard and seen as it had been told to them. As we have Advent here, I'll be lighting the candles, and then you guys continue.
Good morning. Merry Christmas, right? Yes. So those who were here last week, how many of you were worried that with Bertie on the stage, we were going to hear some Christian metal? If you missed last Sunday, we had Bertie sharing the word last week, and he is into Christian metal, and so he shared a couple clips, and it's first time, I think, ever that in a service we had Christian metal played in this church, so it's pretty amazing. So thanks for doing that first. Yeah, Joey, Bertie, that was amazing. It was fun to sit and listen last week. I thought Bertie did a great job, and I know you guys gave him lots of encouragement, so excited to have him as our ministry intern, excited to be able to give him another opportunity here in the near future to preach again, and maybe he'll play a whole song of Christian metal. It'll be amazing. Now that he's kind of broke the ice a little, right? Yeah, that's good. I also wanted just to point out briefly as well, the decorations, Christmas, the stuff that got put up last week, you guys probably saw it. We didn't have time to mention it in the service last week, but just a thank you to Carol Jenkins and her team, which include Donna and Bill and others. So yeah, beautiful as usual. I love the wreaths. They're just gorgeous and really well done. So just appreciate people, right? And all of you in different ways serving and caring for our facility and to the finer things, right? These little things that make a difference in our ability to just gather together and just feel like this is a comfortable place to worship and to celebrate Christmas. I'm also got decorated. So yeah, look at this. You know, I got a tie. Maybe you noticed that. I wore one last week as well. This is all because of Derek Willis. So he was up here earlier with a tie, and it kind of got spread around that he wears Christmas ties because he always has Christmas ties, and so he wears ties most of Christmas time and whatever. And then I heard somebody else was supposed to be wearing Christmas ties, and then I was like, well, shoot, I got some Christmas ties. Maybe I'll wear them. And anyway, so that's who we got. I got another couple that'll be wore next week and Christmas Eve, and so hallelujah for that. You can join us if you'd like. If you got Christmas ties laying around, you never wear them. Hey, why not? This is a good time to do so. All right. With all of that, joyful, right? Joy is where we're at today. Advent of joy. We have decided, a couple of months ago, Jesse and I were talking and just kind of dreaming about what does Advent look like this year and where do we want to go and what is that going to entail, right? And of course, Advent is very, you know, there's a lot of traditional things that you do at Advent in Christmas season, right? Over and over again, these themes. And so how do you take a look at these themes maybe in a different way? And it's not about finding something, discovering something new necessarily within these themes, but maybe applying these themes in a little bit different way or to emphasize different aspects. And so this year we came up with the idea of woven, and that term or that series title came actually from a staff meeting where we were just kind of talking about these Advent ideas, and it came in, and it just seemed like it fit really well with kind of what we wanted to do, and that's basically to be able to take these Advent themes and to recognize that these are things, these are natural characteristics of the people of God. And because of that, we can trace those characteristics throughout history. We can see people in the past, Old Testament characters, if you will, that exhibited these themes, right? They exhibited hope and faith and joy and peace. These things were evident in their life, and they were things that they got to enjoy because of the presence of God with them. And then we also recognize this reality that they're all found in Jesus. And so not only weaving together these themes through Old Testament characters, but also through the life of Jesus as he dwelt among us for 33 years before going to the cross and then ascending to the Father. And then finally, to kind of bring it all together, the part that I've so far enjoyed the most about this series is inviting individuals in our church, in our community, that are experiencing and are exhibiting these Advent themes as well. And so we had a couple of weeks ago, Kathy, who came and shared with us about hope in the midst of her life and how she's experienced that. Last week, we had Uche come and share about faith and how he's exhibiting that and seeing that play out in his workplace. And this morning, we get the privilege of having Jill and Sunny Rose come and share about joy and how the Lord has allowed them to experience that throughout their life in various ways. That, again, I think is the highlight, because even as I said a couple of weeks ago, our tendency is to see biblical characters as removed from us. They're removed from reality. You know, we read the Bible sometimes and we read about the amazing things that Moses did or David did, and we're just like, wow, we don't have people like that anymore kind of thing, right? You know, this is the way we tend to think. We put them in a category that's different than just regular humans. And so to have people in our church, people that we know, people that we interact with, that after the service we can actually go and talk to and ask questions to see these themes lived out in them really brings it home, I think, for all of us, and I know it has for me. We can learn from each other. We can be encouraged and inspired by each other. And so just so excited to be able to have these different folks come and share their testimonies of how their relationship with Jesus has resulted in a natural expression of these beautiful characteristics of hope, of faith, of joy, and of peace. This week, of course, it's joy. What a great characteristic. The joy of the Lord. As has already been said in a couple of different ways by Derek and by Laura and her call to worship, you know, the joy of the Lord is not just a perspective-based joy, right? It's not just this optimistic looking at the bright side. I'm a pretty optimistic guy, and so I can always find the good, you know, in anything, right? And I can always find the joy in the midst of that. But the joy of the Lord is not that. The joy of the Lord is not circumstances-based either. It's not just, you know, those happy times, right? We all, I think, get to enjoy happy times. And again, as was pointed out earlier, Christmas, right? I mean, there's so many things that are reasons for joy, right? Gathering together with family, the opening of the gift, sure, and all of that. But the conversations that happen, the great food, things like decorations bring joy. You know, the different things that we experience are all joy-inducing. But this is not the joy of the Lord. The joy of the Lord is based in relationship and is fruit of an intimate connection with our Savior and Lord Jesus. Joy comes through this intimacy because we recognize that God sees us, that God knows us, and that God is with us. That is where joy is found in Psalm 16, 9 to 11. Therefore, my heart is glad and my whole being rejoices. My flesh also dwells secure. For you will not abandon my soul to Sheol or let your Holy One see corruption. You make known to me the path of life. In your presence, there is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore. It is that intimacy with Jesus that brings joy. It's because in that intimacy with Jesus, we recognize that the God of the universe sees us. He's aware of where we're at and what we're doing. And more importantly, he is with us. He is on our side. Joy is also in the is a gift of his presence. As we spend time with him, as we interact with him, as we dwell with him, as we abide with him, we will experience the joy of the Lord. John 15:11. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be full. John 15 is the vine and the branches chapter. And is after him instructing his people over and over again to abide in him, to stay in the vine, to stay connected there, that it is only there where you're going to be able to bear any kind of fruit. And he says, here is some of the fruit that you will bear. If you remain in me, you will find joy to the full. Of course, joy is part of the fruit of the Spirit. So just emphasizing once again this reality that joy comes out of this intimate relationship. Galatians 5:22-23, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. Joy is also in the knowing that our Heavenly Father, who we are in intimate relationship with, gives good gifts. It's not like, you know, this is a joy in the midst of trial and we just have to find joy no matter what, because there's really nothing good in our life. There's nothing we can enjoy. Life is just all this horrible suffering. And so, yeah, we're just going to claim joy anyway. We are in intimate relationship with a Father who gives good gifts. He blesses us. He knows us. He knows what we need. He sees us when we're sleeping. He knows when we're awake. Hallelujah. Matthew 7:11. If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask him? We have a good, good Father who loves to give us gifts in abundance. And it is in this joy of the Lord that is in relationship, that is just a natural expression of our intimacy with him, that we find this enduring joy. Even when our perspective, our optimism fails, even when circumstances are falling down all around us. James 1:2 says, count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds. Isaiah 61:3, we see this amazing reality that Jesus offers us joy in sorrow. He says to grant to those who mourn in Zion, to give them a beautiful headdress instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, the garment of praise instead of a faint spirit, that they may be called oaks of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified. And as was sang and read earlier, Nehemiah 8:10, the end of this verse, and do not be grieved, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. This joy that naturally is conjured up in intimate relationship with Jesus also is our source of strength in the midst of trials. True joy that's not dependent on everything in our life going well or on our ability to look at the bright side comes from an intimate relationship with Jesus. The more we know him and recognize his presence with us, joy will be a natural and unshakable consequence that will shine through every aspect of our life. With that understanding of joy, let's go ahead and weave history together. by going back into the Old Testament and taking note of a woman named Sarah. Most of us, I think, know the story quite well, but of course, Sarah was Abraham's wife. And imagine for a moment, I want us to kind of take a moment to think about these realities. You know, sometimes Scripture, especially Old Testament, it even in its narrative, it just kind of lays out the facts sometimes, right? And it doesn't really include much of the emotion or what's going on. And so that leaves us maybe sometimes reading Scripture in a way that's pretty cold, right? We don't recognize, like, wow, man, we don't put ourselves in that story. But I want to invite us maybe to a little bit this morning, put ourselves in Sarah's shoes. Imagine at the age of 65, she's never had a child before, and this God of the universe comes to her husband and gives him a promise, Genesis 12:2, and I will make you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great so that you will be a blessing. Now, there doesn't say anything about offspring in this blessing, but to be a great nation, you gotta have people, right? And so imagine in this moment, she is 65 years old and her husband receives this promise from the Lord. She's already pretty old for her age to be having children, but she must have immediately thought, oh my gosh, does this mean that I'm going to finally have a child? Does this mean that I'm finally going to get to experience being a mother, right? Does this mean my curse is finally going to be lifted? Imagine the excitement that was in that. Imagine the hope that was in that. And then 25 years go by and no child. Can you imagine how she felt? Can you imagine maybe the sense that it was her fault that the promise wasn't being fulfilled? That maybe, you know, Abraham God appreciated and loved, but maybe, you know, she was this sinful woman who was to be scorned instead. Can you imagine her perhaps feeling rejected by God? Because she was unable to fulfill her husband's call. Can you imagine that guilt leading to her offering Hagar, her servant, to her husband? Maybe that's how God will fulfill the promise. Maybe it wasn't me. Maybe here, you know, just take my servant, and maybe she'll be the one that the promise will be fulfilled through. Can you also imagine the devastation when Hagar immediately conceives? The jealousy that sparks. You can understand why she would lash out. Why she might have thought, why did God choose Hagar but not me? Then, 25 years later, Jesus shows up. Sarah is 90 years old at this time. Genesis 18, the Lord said, I will surely return to you about this time next year, and Sarah, your wife, shall have a son. And Sarah was listening at the tent door behind him. Now Abraham and Sarah were old, advanced in years. The way of woman had ceased to be with Sarah. So Sarah laughed to herself, saying, after I'm worn out and my Lord is old, shall I have pleasure? The promise that she would be the one who bears the promised child sparks laughter in her. But can't you imagine why? It's a laugh of unbelief. After all these years of rejection, right? Am I really to hope again? Am I really to think possibly again? I mean, come on. I can't have kids anymore. I'm 90 years old. Come on, this is crazy. And that's part of the laugh, is this the ridiculousness of it all. It's a laugh of unbelief. It's a laugh of just the craziness of it. But I don't think it's just that. I think it's a laugh of joy, of the possibility, of a renewed hope that maybe the impact of this encounter with Jesus was immediate. It doesn't give a lot of details of the life of Sarah in between now and having Isaac, but there's this reality that joy is sparked in the moment when Jesus shows up. It reveals this reality that Sarah, once she understood that God knew her, that he saw her, and that he had good things for her, joy was inspired. Joy was motivated. Joy didn't come with the birth of the child. Joy came with the promise that was spoken over her. She recognized that she indeed was not rejected, that she wasn't forgotten, that God did still see her, knew her, and was with her. And all of this joy comes together in the birth of Isaac, who, if you didn't know, his name means to laugh. Now, Abraham was the one who gave him that name because he had a similar encounter, actually, with God when he promised that Sarah would be the one. He laughed as well, but he knew about Sarah's laughter, and I'm sure they had a conversation, and they thought, you know, what would be a better name than to say to be Isaac? Sarah becomes the source of joy for all who met her. Her joy was enshrined in the name of her son. And daily she was a witness to the presence of God and his faithfulness. No matter what came after that moment, she could always turn to her son Isaac and laugh. Sarah has true joy because she knows God. Because her proximity to God has produced true joy. A joy that endured all the future challenges that came her way. Turning to the New Testament, we see Jesus as well, who was a man who was filled with joy and who inspired joy. Jesus was inspired joy by his miracles and his healing, by his presence and by his personality. It seemed everywhere that Jesus went, he brought joy. People celebrating because of the things he did, but also just, I think, again, his personality and presence. And this is where I'd like to take a moment. I know there's a lot of different opinions on the series, The Chosen, but I just would like to say that, in my opinion, I think what The Chosen has done for us is helped us to imagine Jesus, our Savior, as an actual real human being. And I think there's value in that because Jesus was both fully God and fully man. And one of the things, again, through The Chosen is we see the personality of Jesus. And I'm not saying this is actually what his personality was, but I'm just saying that the possibilities, and he had to have been, you know, he had to have told a joke occasionally, right? He had to have, you know, kind of teased his disciples on occasion, right? Sons of thunder. I mean, seriously, right? I mean, like, so I think this is a beautiful thing for us in today's world to imagine Jesus as being a human being and as a human being who was filled with joy. And his joy, Jesus's joy, is empowered by his oneness with the Father. Over and over again, Jesus declares that he and the Father are one. John 17, 20 to 21 talks about this as well. Father is just as you, a Father is in me and I in you, right? You know, this idea that he is one with the Father. And it's because of that oneness, the nearness of God, the knownness of God, that Jesus has joy. Jesus, early on in his ministry, actually just shortly after his baptism, he gets invited to a wedding. This wedding was a great, of course, celebration, as all weddings were. They oftentimes would go a full week of celebrating and having a good time, night after night after night, and dancing, and you know, just joy and laughter, and just celebrating the bride and the groom. However, Jesus goes to this particular wedding, and after a few days, the wine runs out. And imagine for a moment, if you're the parents of this couple, especially of this bride who's hosting this party, and the wine runs out, and there's still three or four more days left of celebrating. I don't know about your family, but that would have been a problem for mine. I'm sure that the parents were filled with a bit of anxiety about the social faux pas of running out of wine. I'm sure they probably felt a bit embarrassed in front of the in-laws, right? Even would be considered in some perspectives and some people's minds as a bad omen for the marriage. But Jesus showed up. Of course, we know the story. Mary, his mother, Jesus' mother, is there and comes to him and says, hey, they ran out of wine. And she's like, what do you bother me for, right? But of course, Jesus then turns water into wine, his first miracle. What a beautiful moment for this family as their anxiety is relieved, as they are honored instead of even embarrassed. Consider this, John 2, 9 to 10. After Jesus had turned water into wine, they took the wine to the master. When the master of the feast tasted the water, now become wine, and did not know where it came from, though the servants who had drawn the water knew, the master of the feast called the bridegroom and said to him, everyone serves the good wine first, and when people have drunk freely, then the poor wine. But you have kept the good wine until now. This family experienced true joy. Certainly their circumstances changed, but their joy wasn't in the circumstances. That was part of it. Their joy was in the reality that Jesus was there. They had an encounter with the Savior of the world. His presence and his gifts, his good gifts, inspired joy for decades for this couple. Imagine how they would look back over and over again. But remember that one time when Jesus was there and he turned water into wine. We even see in the life of Jesus later, the night before the cross in the Garden of Gethsemane, the concern and the prayer, the desperate prayer, knowing what he is about to face, knowing that he's going to the cross and what he's going to suffer, he's wrestling with that, but he still is able to find joy. And how do we know he found joy? Because later, Hebrews 12, verse 2, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. Jesus knew that God was with him. Jesus was going to walk through really painful experience, and yet he was able to continue to experience joy. And understand, I think sometimes we like take this passage in Hebrews 12, 2, and we think that the joy that Jesus had was only in the future, right? That the joy was only in what was to come, right? The joy was only in the fact that he was going to save the world and people were going to come to salvation because of his death. But I don't think that is where the joy is not limited to there. I believe that Jesus had joy in the suffering. He had joy of the fact that his Father allowed him to lay down his life for all people. Jesus not only was the one who brought joy throughout his life while he lived 33 years here among us, but he also exhibited joy throughout his life, even on the cross. Joy, the joy of the Lord comes from relationship with Jesus, knowing his presence, knowing that he's with us. And I praise the Lord that we don't just have a book that was written 2,000 plus years ago to look back and find evidence of this joy of the Lord. Sonny and Jill, would you guys come forward and share your story with us? And I think, do you have the mic? Did you get the microphone handheld? No? You got joy right over here, yeah. So. Hallelujah.
Was there joy in getting
out? Oh, no, but thank you so much. Just
you guys can even just stand right there if you want in that little space, if that works.
We won't do stairs.
No, no stairs. Yeah, you're good. Yeah.
Hey, I'm going to let you hold that.
Don't have that much joy, right?
Okay.
See, we are getting old, so we have to keep notes to even know about our own lives, so we're going to kind of read from this tablet. It's found on that little. Well, for those of you who don't know us, it's Sonny and Jill Rose, and we have had quite the journey. We've been coming here since 2001, but probably a lot of you haven't seen us because we've been kind of absent most of the time for the last year and a half or two because of health issues. So, but the joy of the Lord is... cause us to walk through that, allowed us to. So we're going to take you back to our journey with God's gift of joy.
Starting out was January 1996, newly engaged to Sunny Rose, when I got my first diagnosis of breast cancer. With surgery of 35 rounds of radiation, I was really scared, thinking Sunny wouldn't want to strap himself with this kind of trial. Kind of sounded like I had joy, and then the joy was taken away. Mm-hmm. But not at all. God gave us a deeper...
Don't do that.
That's right. Just joy emotion today. No other minutes. Emotion, just joy emotion.
God gave us a deeper time together and the joy we found in each another. We learned to not take ourselves so seriously and found laughter. By the way, we were married that July 1996. Then 2001, we were just moving along, and bam, Sonny had to have a three-way bypass of the three major heart arteries. The blockages were 100, 95, 90. We were told he was a walking dead man. Oh, by the way, the surgery was on my birthday.
My timing has always been really bad.
But our God gave me the most joyful birthday gift, my Sonny Rose. Healthy and restored, able to share more laughter together. And for a while, laughter was kind of hard on him. He had to hug his heart pillow as he would get through it.
So, in the spring of 2012, breast cancer returned, this time both sides, meaning double mastectomy with reconstruction. During this time, Jill and I obviously went to many doctor appointments. Well, these medical personnel work in a kind of depressing environment, so Jill and I wanted to try to put a smile on their faces or get a giggle or laughter out of them at each appointment. So one of them was Dr. Philbin, and so and she loved her. She was a very good doctor and surgeon. So we got into our room where we were going to meet her, and I wrote a love note to Jill on a blackboard. And so when Dr. Philbin came in, as she closed the door, she had to be staring at the love note. And she got a giggle and laughing. So that made us feel good, too.
That scored,
yeah. We had one doctor, Dr. Ball. Loved Dr. Ball, too. He did reconstruction. But he was a tough nut to crack. And I finally said something to him that really made him smile. And I can't tell you what I said, but if you meet me after services, I will tell you what I said. But it gave us joy to share during this tough time, to watch the other one's laughter and go along with our journey. Mm-hmm.
Within the fall of 2013, we lost Sonny's amazing mother. During this time at the hospital, what they call comfort care, the family all came together, and God allowed us to have joy in that time with his mom and family present. The stories we share today, God has given us a way to allow laughter to not be awkward during this time of loss. Then, the summer of 2020, the loss of Sonny's eldest son was a very hard and difficult time. The priest's eulogy, again, opened the door for God to give us joy.
The years that followed, third time reoccurring breast cancer, which took us many trips to UCSF, as they say, Jill's complicated, and I didn't need doctors to tell me that. Surgery, 36 rounds of radiation, followed by oral chemo pills, and then there's the many worn out parts of my body requiring surgeries. And fortunately, again, this year I had surgery the day before Jill's birthday.
Oh,
so,
nice.
Like I said, my timing's bad. Jill has had both hip replacements within 16 months. And through the years, a loss of parents, siblings, and dear friends, just like many of you.
Through all this time, we were filled with God's gift of joy and laughter each day, which is true, we do. By the way, did you know laughter is good for your soul? Our souls are healthy and alive, thanks to God.
Hallelujah.
Well, God fills us with joy, Romans 15:13, it comes from God alone. Joy is a fruit of the Spirit. It's been mentioned. Galatians 5:22. We have to keep in mind that joy only comes from God. But when we spend time, more time than we allow him to fill us with joy. And no one can take joy from us. John 16:22. Given to us by God himself, no one has the ability to rob us of our joy, no matter what circumstances we encounter. In Psalm 51:12, joy rests in things from God, such as salvation and righteousness. One other thing, it's been read twice today, the joy of the Lord is our strength from Nehemiah. I like the Amplified Version. It says, the joy of knowing the Lord is your strength.
Yeah. Amen. Amen.
We hope that your journey through life, God fills your days with joy and laughter too.
Amen. Amen. So beautiful. Thank you, Sonny and Jill. And I have been to their home enough to know that this is authentic. This is truly the joy of the Lord. This is who they are. It doesn't matter who knows them. If you spent time with them, you will find yourself laughing because they're laughing and they're just full of joy. Worship team, you can come up as we kind of conclude this message this morning. As we come to the end of this reality, again, it's been said over and over again of joy, right? Joy comes out of relationship. And I think as well for us, I was reminded during worship this morning of this crazy passage that I love in Acts chapter 5, verse 41. The disciples had just faced all of this persecution and whipping and all this kind of stuff at the hands of the Pharisees, and they get away from that, and then they say something that just is shocking to me, but it is the joy of the Lord that's coming out. And it says, and again, chapter 5 of Acts, verse 41, then they left the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer dishonor for the name. And how do we rejoice in the midst of that? But we can rejoice in the midst of that because we know Jesus. Because there's that intimate relationship with him. And we know that he sees us. We know that he's with us. And he's the one who inspires and empowers us to continue to have joy. And here's the reality of joy, that it angers the evil one more than anything, right? He hates that Sonny and Jill are laughing and joyful all the time. He hates that because his desire is to steal, to kill, and destroy. He wants everyone depressed. He wants everyone upset. He wants them crying and weeping and moping around. That's what he wants. But Jesus, he gives us joy. Unbelievable joy. No matter how life throws horrible things at us, no matter how much the evil one tries to depress us, we can have joy in the midst of that. Not something that we've conjured up on our own. It is a choice, but it's a choice to recognize that Jesus is with us. If you're struggling with not experiencing joy, the solution is easy. It's not a different perspective, you know, being more optimistic and looking the bright side. It's not just, you know, having better circumstances and think just, you know, things would just get better, then I can have joy. If you're not experiencing joy to the fullest that maybe you want to experience it, the answer is simple. Seek Jesus. Seek to know him more. Seek to be drawn into greater intimacy with him. Jesus is the source. He's the source of hope, of faith, of joy, of peace, of love. Jesus, he's the one. I hope you have testimonies of joy. This Advent season, as you gather with family and friends, take the opportunity to share that testimony of joy with your family and friends. Because the final little bow on all of this is that the joy of the Lord is what draws people to Jesus. When a world that is filled with despair and loneliness sees the joy of the Lord in us, they can't help but want to know more. Hallelujah. Merry Christmas. Will you stand and let's close our service with a song. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for the joy of the Lord. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for seeing us, for knowing us, for being with us and making your presence known among us. Lord, may we continue to seek to know you more. May we never be satisfied with the level of intimacy we have with you. Lord, you are infinite, and so there's always more. So, Lord, I pray that you continue to draw us into that greater intimacy, that we would continue to seek that greater intimacy so that we can enjoy more fully this relationship with you that results in things like hope and faith and joy and peace and love. Lord, thank you for joy. Thank you for giving us a sure joy, a joy that is unceasing, a joy that will never fade. Thank you for giving us the joy of the Lord. Psalm 5, verse 11. But let all who take refuge in you rejoice. Let them ever sing for joy and spread your protection over them, that those who love your name may exalt in you. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you for being with us this morning. We've got another song or some music here if you'd like to stay in the room. We've got a prayer team up front. We would love to pray for you. If you're struggling with joy, come, let us have an opportunity to pray for you. If there's anything else that's going on, come and we would love to pray for you. We've got the table between as well. Just invite you to spend some time with us for the next 45 minutes to an hour and just get to know each other, speak life over each other, have conversations that are redemptive. God bless you. Merry Christmas. See you, church. Have a good Sunday.